Jude Collins, the commentator, is with us this morning. Jude, good morning to you.
Good morning to you,
Stephen. Good morning, the victims campaigner, Kenny Donaldson. Kenny, good morning to you.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning. Kenny, what do you make of Martin McGuinness's intervention yesterday?
Well, I suppose, Stephen, it wasn't entirely surprising. We saw this in the past where politicians have been, I suppose, breaking free and plea, and I suppose seeking to appease their own deemed immediate constituency. And I think what we have had here over the past number of years, and is to the detriment of victims and survivors from across the board, is this type of piecemeal approach in dealing with the past. And I want to say first and foremost that you had John Taggart at the top of your show today. I want to sympathise with John in respect of his loss. John actually lost two members of his family. One lost his life in Ballymurphy at the hands of the Parachute Regiment, and he also lost his own brother, who was murdered by the IRA. So the man has lost twice. And what I suppose where we come from on this is that the difficulty out there within the victims and survivors community is that there is a very real feeling that there is a different hierarchy around how these cases are examined and looked at. There's a case in our own backyard, Enniskillen, which has never received an HET report. And there has been a whole raft of controversy around all of that, and it seems no closer to being resolved. So whenever Martin McGuinness opens his cheaper, he needs to understand that he needs to be speaking as supposedly the Deputy First Minister of this country on behalf of all citizens, not simply those who maybe get him up the hill.
Well, what do you expect him to say?
What I expect them to say is show for the first time an openness to deal with the actions of the organisation for which he was a commander. That's absent in all of this. And I think what we're asking for is the coroner's inquest system and the predominant number of cases that are waiting to be examined are cases where there is an alleged wrongdoing by the state. Well, there are, as you quite rightly said earlier in the interview this morning, hundreds upon hundreds of cases of individual atrocities right across this country. And when people talk about inquests, those families in many of those cases received inquests in courts up and down this land, which lasted no more than 1 hour in the immediacy after the murder was committed. So anybody who has this notion that there were somehow, inquests with belt and braces for all those who are victims of terrorism need to get their heads straight.
Jude Collins, is there ever going to be agreement between the parties and the executive as to how to deal with this?
There may not be. There may not be. I would agree with Kenny that there are hundreds of families who are suffering intensely from the pain of loss going back decades. And you could see that with the Ballymurphy families on TV last night. You know, they were hurting just as much as the day after their loved ones were killed. Now, the question is, where do you start with so many people who have been unjustly suffering because of the loss of loved ones in violence. And I don't think any victim should be prioritised, but I do think there should be a prioritising in terms of cases where the state was involved in the killing.
Well, that is,
in other words,
well,
when
that,
the
is,
state
that
agent,
is that is putting a hierarchy.
Okay, I'm trying to make my point that I understand and appreciate that the pain everybody feels, regardless of who killed the person, the pain that their loved one feels is just as strong as anybody else's, right? So we now look at all of these cases and we say, are there any differences between them apart from that pain, which is equal? And I would suggest that one difference is that there are some of these cases, I think somebody said 10%, where the state agents were involved or the state forces were involved. Now, these people are paid by us to protect us, not to kill us, not to attack us. We didn't pay the IRA or we didn't pay the UDA or the UVF or anybody else, but we do pay the authorities, the state forces, to protect us, not to kill us. Now, I think it was this morning, except my ears deceived me, I think I heard this morning that there were something like 300 agents or spies at any given point active in during the Troubles.
So you think that there should be all of these investigations into the state before there are any more investigations into paramilitaries?
Well, I wouldn't say that before there should be. Perhaps they can go along parallel.
Well, they're not going to go along parallel, are they?
Well, if they're not, that's unfortunate. But I honestly would say that it is more important that cases where the state, paid by us, the taxpayer, to protect us, has had agents who were involved and are killing.
Kenny Donaldson?
I think, Stephen, there's a very, very important point in all of this. We've always said that where there are members of the security forces who have dishonoured the code and engaged in acts of criminality, they must be held accountable for the law in the exact same way as terrorists. That's without a shadow of a doubt. But there's also another point in all this. In our border areas of this country, and particularly I want to speak on County Fermanagh, the statistics are there to prove that there was none of this collusion as is, you know, roundly used nowadays within the security forces. The statistics are there that it was one-way traffic in terms of IRA murder of a border community. And, you know, what does the show say this morning, or indeed anyone who comes on, to those families where there's 92% of those families who have never saw a conviction in those cases? Those people who lived the right way, who refused to bring to their neighbour's door what had been brought to theirs, they lived life the right way. And what have they got out of this? Absolutely zilch.
Andrew and Derry. Morning, Andrew.
Morning.
Go ahead, Andrew.
I'm appalled to listen to Jude Collins this morning. Did he forget about T. Barham? Has he forgot about Ennis Gillan? Kingsmill, he's an absolute disgrace to society.
I have to correct you. I did not at any stage say that any of the killings were not horrible and that the pain of the loved ones wasn't equally felt. Make that absolutely clear. Absolutely clear. It doesn't matter who killed them. All of their pain is the same.
But you are saying that there should be a prioritisation and investigation.
Correct. Yes, correct. And I'll tell you why. Because if we say that the people who are paid to protect us can kill us or can maim us and leave loved ones grieving and then not even tell them what happened...
But here's your problem.
You've nailed your colours to the mast this morning.
Here's the problem, Jude, potentially, with what you've just said. One of the leaders of this country, Martin McGuinness, believes that the IRA were in this country to protect us, if you like, as in his community.
Mm-hmm.
So he believes that the existence of the IRA was to protect his community.
Mm.
So surely that is the gap in your argument. They believe they were in a war.
I'm not sure. As I say again, the public don't pay Martin McGuinness or the IRA or the UDA or any of the other paramilitary groupings to protect us. That's not their job. But it is the job of the police, the soldiers, to protect us. That's why they were called the security forces. Now, it seems to me it is a more grave crime if somebody whose job is to protect you, in fact, does the opposite, and they're being paid for it. That does seem to me to stand out. It doesn't make the killings by the IRA or the UVF or anyone else any less horrible. I agree with that completely.
It makes the accountability less if you're asking for investigations into the state and no one else.
Well, if you want to have people have confidence in the state, and if you find that the state hangs back, and we're told that there were 300 agents of the states working in all of the paramilitary groups, now the chances are they were going to be involved either in allowing these killings to happen, maybe even provoking these killings to happen. Cases like Pat Finucan, even somebody mentioned Kingsmill there, the man who survived the Kingsmill massacre, mentioned the fact that one of the people who seemed to be in charge had an English accent. Now, that doesn't mean he was a member of the state forces, but it is a factor to be considered.
Does it not matter, by the way, that one of the most senior people in this country, my goodness, he's the Lord Chief Justice, that he is calling on the Stormont executive to make urgent progress on dealing with the past? Mm. Does that not matter to Martin McGuinness and Arlene Foster? Chief Justice Sir Declan Morgan saying that I read what he said earlier, that this needs sorted, that he's urging them to make progress on this. And there hasn't been progress. There is no agreement between the two leaders of this country on this issue. Councillor John Scott contacting us now. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, Stephen. Good to have you back. Just want to say, Martin McGuinness, never mind Jude Collins being a joke, but Martin McGuinness is a joke, Stephen. The Shankill bomb, take it for instance, it'd be a very quick inquest because Sean Kelly is still walking about the streets. He knows who drove him down in the car. He knows who gave him the bomb. But I don't hear Martin McGuinness calling for an inquiry into that. And for Jude Collins to say, what he's saying now this morning, hierarchy of victims.
He's no, I didn't say, I said the exact opposite of that.
No.
The exact opposite of that.
Jude, let me speak, please. What you said was that the victims of the state should come first. So you're putting people there first. So think of what you said. I mean, you have a blinkered view and just, I mean, you are a joke, as that other contributor said. But for you to come on here this morning and say that victims of the state should be, inquest should be first, how dare you? How dare you when there's thousands of people in this country who were killed and murdered by paramilitaries on both sides?
Yes, I agree.
And you're asking for an inquest for victims of the state to come first?
Well, who would you suggest comes first?
You ask any family and they'll say, my loved one.
Yeah, so everybody wants...
But I am not saying that the victims of the state should come first.
Yeah, well,
I'm saying they should look at them as equal. And Martin McGuinness, who is the Deputy First Minister, he is in bed with the DUP because, as Stephen stated this morning, not one of them has come out against each other on this issue and they're keeping it all quiet. So they're frightened of upsetting each other, and that's why we don't have statements from them this morning.
We do have a statement from the DUP. Sinn Féin claim that they're trying to find someone to come onto the programme.
But, Stephen, you know if it's something the other way around. Both will be on right away. They'll have a spokesman on there. They just do not want to upset each other. They're in bed together. They're working together, which is good that they're working together. But...
Stephen.
They're scared to upset each other. They're scared to speak out against each other. And this is the problem we're having with Stormont today.
You're not seriously suggesting that the DUP is frightened of speaking out against Sinn Féin?
Well, Stephen, they're scared of upsetting the apple cart. There's lots of things that went on and they don't speak out against them. They'll turn a blind eye to it or they'll give you a statement.
They would deny
it. They'll have no one on there for you to question them.
Stephen?
Yes, Kenny.
Stephen, just want to make a point there. There was a contribution made previously about the fact that Martin McGuinness would suggest that the IRA defended its own community. Your listeners need to understand, and once again, this has been said previous times, the IRA murdered more people from the deemed Roman Catholic nationalist community than all the other organisations and contributors added together. That's a fact. 60% of lives lost within these troubles were lives which were taken by Republican terrorists, 30% by loyalist terrorists, and 10% by the state, of which a section were lawful killing and others were unlawful killing. That needs to be understood. That's the facts.
You see, I think again, if we look at what we've been talking about maybe over recent days, there is no doubt that the executive, that the current government, in other words, the DUP and Sinn Féin, that they are a functioning government that are achieving certain things in Northern Ireland. And clearly what they want to do is they want to say to all of us as a population in Northern Ireland, look, things are being done and we're trying our very best. But I guess one of the difficulties is that until the big issues are sorted, will there always be a disquiet with government in Northern Ireland? You know, if they are getting our roads fixed, if they are improving employment prospects in Northern Ireland, is there really going to be a feel-good factor in Northern Ireland if running alongside that, the government has failed to deal with the past, a fundamental issue which is causing so much pain? And if they are working behind the scenes to try to find a resolution, are we getting any hint of that whatsoever?